be playing. I be playing.
Good morning and welcome to another wild and crazy season of Skybox, the show where we fearlessly pick college football games and spend the rest of our Saturdays trying to figure out where we went so wrong. I'm Mark Mayfield, editorial advisor in UAA's Office of Student Media, and with me is my co-host, Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President of Student Life here at UA. We're missing our third host today, Andrew Deer from University Recreation. Andrew had to be away, but he'll rejoin us next week. This is week one in the 2017 college football season. It's going to be a huge, long weekend of games, highlighted, of course, by Bama and Florida State meeting in the brand-new Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight in Atlanta. The good Dr. Sterrett here is particularly, I know he's particularly enthused about this game because he's an FSU alum, but most definitely sports the crimson in these parts as a UA administrator. Adam, it's going to be a big day.
It is going to be a big day. So we last left our football team as they were unfortunately missing out on a second national championship in the last seconds in one of the greater national championship games that I think we've ever seen, right, outside of the final outcome, certainly. And then now we're kicking off the season with one of the greatest kickoff games that we've had. And certainly for me, it's a big game being a Florida State two-time alum and worked there, yeah, for a number of years. And my family's got 6 degrees from that school, 7 if you count my wife's degree. And so, but you're right, I'm wearing crimson today and in the studio and wearing crimson all week. And so, yeah, it's tough. It's going to be a great kickoff. And we had the weird week of games last week as well, where there's a few more teasers on that week zero than we had even last year.
Yeah, I heard it described as a soft opening. I guess that's what it was. I watched the BYU game because I was so desperate to watch college football, but they didn't look too well.
No,
but,
you know. I watched Colorado State whip up on that other team. Yeah, I got a little bit worried about family weekend coming up in a few weeks because Colorado State looked pretty good. Now, they didn't play anybody as good as Alabama, certainly, but they were better than I thought. I'm excited about the weekend. A handful of marquee, really big games. Certainly none that overshadow our game, but being in Atlanta and they end the season in Atlanta this year as well, I think the national championship is back in Mercedes-Benz Stadium this year. So you could, much like we tried to do the other couple years ago, go from Dallas to Dallas. You could go from Atlanta to Atlanta and take the whole season here. So, yeah, I'm excited to get back at it. And this is the third season of Skybox.
Is that right? Third season. So big year. Number three. The three-peat, right?
Yeah, exactly. The third year, I think, is when you're supposed to really get your act together and figure it out. And so we will see with our massive audience here whether we get it figured out here this year.
right.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend for sure.
Yeah, going to be some big games out there today. So, you know, I think everybody's focused here on Bama and FSU, but some other huge games coming up, Florida and Michigan, and we'll get into all this, but that's kind of a hard pick for me today. I don't know. We'll talk about that, but although Florida keeps dropping players like flies.
They're having some issues. I can't figure out a way for both of those teams to lose by 500, which is what I would ideally pick both of those teams. Those are two of the least enjoyed teams in my household for sure. So that's very much in my house the rivalry bowl of you wanting both Michigan and Florida to lose from a Ohio State grad that married a Florida State grad.
Right.
There's just no love lost in this game, and those yellow uniforms by Michigan are just some of the grossest things I've ever seen.
Although I just saw a poll out that said they're the top number one uniform in America or something. I was thinking about you when I saw
people in Michigan will buy anything. I don't understand what they're doing. It's really a bad look, and I don't know if Florida's then going to match it with some awful all blue or all orange, or I don't know.
They're in like day glow or something. They're like the neon uniform.
It's like the color rush games or whatever.
Something
in the NFL.
Strange with their uniforms in that
game. It's gonna break my TV. I don't think my TV can handle the hue saturation of those awful colors.
I've already called the fashion cops to arrive there in Texas to arrest everybody, so I don't know.
Texas A&M and UCLA, that's a pretty interesting game. That's a good out-of-conference big game as well. Tennessee-Georgia Tech, another kind of pretty good matchup. I think that's the Monday night Labor Day evening game, right?
Right, it is. That's a hard one to pick.
Yeah, I think so as well. And NC State and South Carolina, which we'll see where those teams are at. Both of those teams have a lot of room to get better, I would say. And in some years, that would be a pretty intriguing matchup. This year, I'm not sure. But certainly, it's another decent game here for this first weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, Auburn, that's kind of interesting. I mean, Georgia Southern sort of had a down year last year a little bit, didn't they? But still, Georgia Southern, as we found out a few years ago here in Tuscaloosa, can come in and really, you know, wreck things pretty well, at least for a half of a game.
It's a tough, tough first opponent, and they've got a lot of time to prep for the triple option. But conditioning-wise, are they ready to play a triple option team this early in the season?
Yeah.
Because they could get run all over for the first half, three quarters possibly.
Right. The BYU-LSU game, and, you know, they moved that to the Superdome in New Orleans because of the flooding in Houston. But that's going to be – you know, BYU, I thought they would look better last week. They did have a tough opener. But, you know, Portland State, which was their opponent, you know, can sometimes – I think they upset somebody a year or two ago that was pretty good. So, who knows? It may have just been kind of a dud opener for BYU. But LSU's certainly the big favorite.
The better team. Yeah. But BYU having a game under their belt may help them as well. And so LSU is going to come out a little stale like everybody does this first week. And so maybe BYU can come out a little hot and put some scores on the board and put some pressure on LSU to come through with your favorite coach currently in Division One. Now that your buddy Stoops is gone, I'm sure you're all in on the Ed Orgeron bandwagon.
Coach O, I'm waiting.
A big fan.
As a journalist, I'm like, I absolutely love
he's gold for you.
The pressers with him.
Absolutely.
The big question is, can you understand him? So somebody has to translate at the end with the transcript. But, hey, he's great for college football, and in his own way, he kind of was the perfect person to replace Les Miles, who was a little nutty. And
is shockingly still out of a job right now. I don't understand how that guy doesn't have a full-time coaching job, especially with the other either open positions or interims or unsuccessful 3- and 4-year coaches that are still at some major programs.
Yeah.
Maryland at Texas is a relatively interesting game early in this morning. We'll see where Texas is with their new coach, and Maryland will play a decent game 2 or 3 times a year, and so maybe they choose this week. And Cal at UNC is a pretty good game, too.
Yeah, a very good game.
A couple good early slates here of out-of-conference. Certainly not as big as some of these marquee matchups, but teams are playing better games early in the season against out-of-conference opponents with the playoff and seeing it as not being harmful to their schedule, and it makes it better for the fans, which all of us today are fans first and foremost for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, also App State at Georgia, there's been some trash talking I've noticed online from the App State people. They think they're going to win that game. So, who knows? I mean, that would not be good for Kirby Smart.
Yeah, watching Coach Smart in the second year is going to be really interesting because he struggled through that first year. And the Georgia fan base is crazy. After spending some years in Atlanta listening to local radio, their expectations are just
– Yeah, they're high.
Just out of control high for a team that has not really been winning conference or national championships for the last 20 years. And so – their expectations are for him to come out in the East and win it all this year, and it'll be very interesting because everybody seems to be relatively down in the East.
Yeah. I noticed somebody on ESPN, I think Barrett Sally, somebody picked Georgia to be in the Final Four.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Wow. Well, anyway.
Georgia fans are certainly picking Georgia to be in the Final Four.
Yep, no doubt.
All right, well, that's about the big games here for the slate this first weekend. We've got a whole lot of show left, and we'll get to some picks later on. We've got a special guest, Dr. Andy Billings, coming up right after the break. You are listening to Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum. My favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We have a great, great guest today classing up the joint, an actual sports broadcasting professional as opposed to the amateurs, which I think amateurs being kind, frankly, of Mark and Andrew and myself. I'm speaking of Dr. Andy Billings, director of the Alabama Program in Sports Communication and the Ronald Reagan Chair of Broadcasting in the Department of Journalism and Creative Media here at the university. Some of you may have seen Andy recently on ESPN's Outside the Lines show talking about fantasy football. Andy has agreed to be our guest picker today on the show, and we're also going to talk to him for a while about what he's been working on and some of his thoughts about some of the big games this week before we get to the picks. And so, Andy, welcome back to the show. You were on last year, the year before. I think
2 years ago.
Okay,
yes,
a repeat
offender.
It's great
to be back. And week one, when we don't really have a whole lot of data points, it's kind of a clean slate, and it's fun.
Yeah, we don't know any more than the teams do at this point, quite frankly. So we're all flying blind.
We can't cheat this week.
No, we can't.
We don't have any, you know, intel on how good these teams are.
We've got nothing. We've got nothing. So tell us about Outside the Lines last week, the week before, right?
Yes, a week and a half ago, I think. Yeah, no, they contacted me and they wanted to talk. You know, they were doing their 24-hour fantasy sport marathon, and they wanted to talk especially not just about winning your league, but also the power of losing and some of the different punishments that different leagues have for that. Mm-hmm. So I talked a lot more about that fine psychology and how that plays out differently with fantasy sports.
Because a lot of the question, right, was would you rather have your real team lose or would you rather have your fantasy team lose, and which one hurts you the most, right?
4 out of 10 now will choose their fantasy team over their favorite NFL team, which to me is stunning, but that's also the reason why I've studied this, because I think the one assumption we always make is that the number one reason you watch is to see who wins. And I'm not sure these people care which team wins as much anymore.
I really hadn't, because I'm not a big fantasy football person, but, you know, listening to your interview on ESPN, it really did dawn on me the I know a lot of people who are really into fantasy football, but how ingrained that is now in their psyche of really, you know, they really want to do so well in their own fantasy football league, that it doesn't matter as much their favorite team winning. I mean, I'm like, that's stunning to me.
It is. It's crazy. I just did an interview with Slate Magazine that they're going to talk about that psychology of it too. And part of it's just that control. You know, like if your team doesn't start the right player or doesn't pick up the right player, you don't have any control. But it's your fault or it's your gain if you made some great move that causes you to win your league.
I've played fantasy football for a long period of time, and being an NFL fan as well as college. And what's interesting for me, who's got multiple college allegiances, and I have an NFL allegiance. I grew up in the DC area, and I'm unfortunately a Washington fan for my entire life, and saw some good years. But the trick for me is if my college team would lose on Saturday and my NFL team would lose on Sunday, well, at least I had some hope on one or multiple fantasy teams to win. Right. So for me, it almost wasn't, I'd rather have one of them win. It was just, let me get a win out of something. And whether it's a fantasy league or a real league, week by week, you know, fantasy lasts a long time. It's a long season. And so just having some win in my house on a weekend, I think, was what I was looking for.
You're looking for more angles. You're looking for more of an edge, you know, more things that you can follow. And that's what fantasy gives you.
So if you run into people, though, that have some lines that they won't cross with fantasy, I know for me, no matter how good they are, I don't draft Dallas Cowboys in fantasy because I just would rather lose without a Cowboy on my team than win with a Cowboy on a team, whether they be great or not. Whereas I've got friends that can separate the two and say, I don't care. It's a fantasy football league and I'm trying to make money.
Right. No, I've looked at that too. It's not just lines between your favorite team and your rival. It's, do we have moral lines? Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got someone who is suspended or who has a history of abuse or other types of transgressions, do you still take that player because they can score for you? And some people will say, yeah, sure, I'll take Adrian Peterson or whatever it is. Right. And others say, look, this is my team. I don't have to root for someone like that.
So that's interesting. Yeah. I think that's where your previous point about control may come back into it, because we had a draft this week and the question was, where Ezekiel Elliott's going to go? And it wasn't a question about, well, I'm going to miss him for a few games. It was a question about, this is my team, and so I can't control Jerry Jones. I can't control the NFL. I can control whether I support this guy, even though it's a no-money league and it's just a game. But I morally can say I don't support that guy. And it's not some grand statement, but to me in my fantasy league, it was for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't support him just because of the way he ran against Bama.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I think people get hung up on the money. And on daily, I guess you could talk about the money. But, you know, for traditional week-to-week fantasy, 90% play for less than $50 you know, a season, which is roughly $3 a week. Half of them play for free. It's not about that.
Right,
right.
It's about claiming your domination over your friends and family, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So last time you were here, we were in the thick of all of the dailies coming out. Yep. It was DraftKings versus the other one that I can't remember. And so that's changed.
FanDuel.
Yeah, there you go. And that's changed quite a bit in 2 years. What's the current state of that now compared to where it was when it came out of the gates a couple of years ago?
Well, there's a couple things going on. I mean, we thought by this summer those two were looking at a merger.
Right.
We thought the merger was happening. It's still May. That seemed to get put on hold. It was supposed to happen in June or July. It hasn't happened yet. And so now what the Fantasy Sport Trade Association has done is basically said we have to win 50 different battles. And so different states are at different stages of that. Alabama was considering a bill just a couple months ago. That got tabled. So they still haven't voted on whether daily fantasy should be legal in the state of Alabama.
But they're certainly dealing with less money now than they were 2 years ago when they first came out, I would be guessing, right? They've become less popular. Is that true?
I don't know about less popular, but people figured out how to game the system.
Okay. Okay.
So there's a great book. If you want to read Dueling with Kings, which is a guy who says, hey, I'm going to figure out how are these people getting those big checks and getting on TV.
Right.
And the bottom line is, you know, it's such a game of skill that if you don't know these certain strategies and matrix type things that you have to create, you have very little chance.
No chance. Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
That's really interesting.
93% of the winnings go to the top 1% of the people.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
kind of a sharks and minnows mindset that I think is hurting them with the general population.
Right. Because if they're not going to stick in, the general population's eventually going to
give up. Then
it's
just a whole bunch of sharks trying to game each other.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
They got to take money from someone.
Right.
Right. So I know that you are an Indiana grad, right?
Yes,
and
three degrees.
And you have other allegiances as well, right? Because I've seen you in orange and purple before as well, or I've seen you talk about orange and purple before.
Yes, no, I taught at Clemson for 12 years before coming here. Yeah. So it's been an interesting couple of years, I'll tell you.
So as somebody else who lives in a multi-institution household, how are you dealing with the season going into it and looking at all your teams?
Like we said, we want to have multiple games that we care about, right? But at the bottom line is, this is where you're at. This is where your paycheck comes from. You root for the Crimson Tide now that you're here.
Absolutely.
And, when you're an Indiana grad, you don't really worry about that possibility of what if Indiana plays Alabama in the college football playoff? That's not really on our radar right now.
You wait for basketball season and wait for the NIT.
Although
for
it was last year when Indiana nearly beat Ohio State, right? Was it? Or the year before.
We've always, the past few years, we've had a really good offense, very little defense. The problem is our head coach, Kevin Wilson, we fired for alleged player abuse, and now he's going to be coordinating the offense for Ohio State. So it's going to be a little harder playing against your old head coach.
Absolutely.
So you're a very busy man, I know, and you're doing lots of stuff in sports journalism, broadcasting. What else are you working on right now?
Well, I'm working on two books that'll be out next year. One, interesting, since you said you're a Washington NFL fan, is on Native American mascots, trying to break down that controversy. Wow. And the other one's on gay athletes in the media and really that whole process if you decide to come out in the media. So we talked to Jason Collins and Dave Cope from decades ago, and Ryan O'Callaghan, who just came out this summer and asked about their experiences, but also talked to people at ESPN, the NFL, Outsports, things like that. But the book that just came out now is on the Olympic telecast, Olympic television inside the biggest show on earth.
Wow.
And it really is a 20-year snapshot looking at NBC's coverage of the Olympics and what that means to America.
It's great. Awesome. Yeah, incredible. So it's all of this. I'm assuming you go back into the history of television and its experience and the ratings and the cost and all those sorts of things.
There's a whole history chapter that goes in. When watching the Olympics consisted of watching short films that were sent back that you would then watch in movie theaters, and then that gradual evolution over time. It used to be, for instance, when I started looking at the Olympics 20 years ago, it was what gets shown.
Yeah.
It was a triple cast, and we're going to have three different channels you can buy. Now everything gets shown. Mm-hmm. It's where does it get shown? And pretty soon it's going to be how does it get shown? And what I mean there is I think there's going to be multiple different primetime telecasts. And if you love flag waving and national anthems, you're going to get a lot of that. But on another channel, you might get nothing but competition and have it treated less with the pageantry and more with competition.
Because that really has changed in the recent years, that you can watch anything. There's multiple channels because NBC owns so many,
right,
especially on the cable side of things, so many options that you're really 24/7 almost for a while seeing what's going on.
Well, you know, NBC merged and became NBC Sports Group a couple of years ago, to the point that they now have a whole lot more people that they can send out there and still program other sporting events beyond the Olympics during that time. Right. But, you know, if you ever, you know, for the book, I got to interview a lot of those people, went up to Stamford, Connecticut at their home base there. And, you know, it's in their DNA. Every conference room is named after a different Olympic site. Mm-hmm. So there's the Barcelona room and the Atlanta room, you know,
right. Yeah,
all the way through, you know, Beijing, London, and beyond. Rio.
Wow. Well, the other thing about talking about television and sports, you know, just there's a lot going on right now with ESPN and losing subscribers, mm-hmm, and, you know, people cutting the cable and all that. And, of course, ESPN drives college football and other sports with the packages, the SEC getting all the television package with the SEC network, all those things. So it's fascinating how that ebbs and flows and the huge amounts of money involved in sports rights for television, you know.
Well, it's interesting too, like, that there seem to be a lot of people that are eager to take down ESPN, and I'm not saying that they do everything perfectly or anything right. like it, but, you know, they're delivering a product to the sports fan that, you know, look at the games this weekend, right, you know, it, without ESPN and college game day and all this. So I'm not saying they're perfect, but yeah, I'm surprised by the backlash on some of it, and I also think a lot of it's overblown. Like, you know, when these people say ESPN's got too liberal a stance things, I don't know, have you guys bumped into a bunch of Alabama fans who say, hey, ESPN's doing the game this weekend, I'm not going to watch?
No,
I've never met that person.
Yeah,
it's the market, right? So that if the market wasn't there to digest these things like ourselves, then they wouldn't make money off of it to provide it.
And I think what they're confusing, the people who do complain on the political side of that, are just they're confusing. Like when ESPN, like with Elliott, you know, when an athlete, ESPN's job is to cover sports news as well. So if an athlete is charged with domestic violence or something, that's a major story for ESPN too. And I think sometimes people go, well, that's not what I want to watch on sports. That's news or that's something, but it is sports news. And I think they get unfair treatment on those kinds of issues. They cover those issues very very well. So I think it's just part of what they do that they've always done.
Right. You know? They've always had to walk and chew gum at the same time and be news and entertainment.
Yeah. So I think sometimes people view that politically. When it's not political, it's sports news. I mean, it's not either liberal or conservative. It's just, you know.
Sometimes the American way, though, to take down the giant, to create the underdog in some ways, too. And so that's almost that angle.
It is, and I've always kind of, you know, I sound too harsh with this, but I'm kind of like, lots of times the giant's there because they're the best. Sometimes it's there because, you know, they've always been there and they don't do things as well, and they're the dinosaur. But lots of times they're there because they did something no one else did.
They relatively organically became that.
Yeah.
Giant. And so, right, they've made missteps along the way, but we have fed the giant. We've created the giant.
Go to ESPN.com. You see all the Bama haters in there, like, because Bama's won all this.
And sure.
People who win start suddenly, you know, they'll blame ESPN for being biased for Alabama or the SEC. Absolutely. We've seen a lot of that. So they're just, you know, SEC's a great conference to cover. I mean, what can you say?
Absolutely.
We love the underdog, and you can't have the underdog unless you've got somebody bigger to take down. You really can't.
Well, hey, we're going to take a short break here, and Dr. Billings is going to join us to make some college football picks here.
Absolutely.
On our first big Saturday of the college football weekend. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey!
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Dr. Adam Sterrett and I are with Dr. Andy Billings here. And Andy, we hoping you'll make some picks with us. It's time for some fearless looks at picks at these games coming up.
Hey, I've got no money riding on any of it, so it's truly fearless.
Right. That's great. And right now, we're all undefeated, right? I mean, we haven't made a pick.
So we've got a fresh start.
We're doing really well, and
it's going to get ugly fast.
It is. It's going to get ugly fast, and I can't wait to talk about Harbaugh here in a minute. But we'll get to him. But let's start. Let's just go chronologically. This morning, everything begins with Wyoming at Iowa. Not the biggest game in the country, but Kurt Ferentz and Iowa always, you know, produce a pretty good football team. Andy, what do you think?
Well, you know, I've got Iowa. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know if people have heard, you know, Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports 1 has called Iowa the fake ID of college football because they always schedule these really tough non-conference opponents and then get upset if they aren't in the Final Four. There. So Wyoming fits right in there for the fake ID of college football, and I think Iowa's going to get their first cupcake win of the year.
There we go.
I think that's probably a safe choice there.
Yeah,
I think that's a safe choice.
I lived in Des Moines for 1 year, so I'm the Buckeyes are, you know, they got a great following of fans.
Hawkeyes,
what am I saying? Good grief. Lived in Iowa, and I'm calling them Buckeyes. Right. That's deference to Dr. Sterrett's one of his other great universities here, Ohio State. But I agree. You know, it's but one thing's for sure: Ferentz will never get fired. He's not gonna. They're fine with, you know, they'll lose a few games, win more than they lose. Iowa's always going to be fine, and then they get in the bowl game and do pretty well.
It's a key to having relatively realistic expectations about what your program should do for your university, if you ask me. So I never have any issues with him because they are doing a successful version of Iowa football, and they should be happy with that. Georgia could learn a lot from them.
As long as they aren't upset when, you know, they go 10-2 or 11-1 and say, we need to be in there. You know, I mean, other teams are playing real opponents here, and Iowa, I guess what they always say is their rival is Iowa State. That's a, you know, that's their out-of-conference opponent. But usually the Cyclones don't put up much of a fight.
Which I never quite understood. Right. They play Iowa State in the middle of the season, right? They're like the fifth game.
It's not on rivalry Saturday.
I've never quite understood that, but anyway.
It's interesting, though.
Iowa.
More teams play better games early in the season due to the playoff. How many of these other next-tier programs are going to start doing the same? Because it's the only way to get up there.
Yep. Next up, Maryland at Texas, which is, Adam, you said earlier, it's kind of an interesting game. What do y'all think?
It's Herman's debut, right?
It is.
In Austin?
Yep.
And Maryland is not often very good. They have very fancy uniforms, but they do not often live up to expectations.
You don't fear the turtle.
I don't fear the turtle. I wish I could. I fear what version of the Maryland flag they're going to put on which side of their helmet. I think Herman gets a big win, and I think right now with all the tragedy in Texas, I think this game is going to be a passionate time, and I think Herman's probably going to whoop up on Maryland.
Yeah, no,
I've got Texas as well. I think Herman's a terrific hire for them. I do think Longhorn fans need to pump the brakes a little bit for year one, you know, but I don't think you need to pump the brakes when you're playing Maryland. I think they can cover this, and the Herman era starts off pretty strong.
You don't think Under Armour can save it for Maryland?
No, I'm with you guys. I don't think it'll be close. I think Texas, Herman wins big opener, or big game in his opener. I'm not sure it's a big opener, but he wins big. But I tell you, I do want me a Fear of the Turtle t-shirt. I want that. I don't care if they don't win a game all year. I want one of those t-shirts. So Fear of the Turtle.
They love their merch.
Sounds like
Maryland.
A theme. Yeah.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Cal at UNC here. This is a decent game, I think. Cal, certainly we talk every year about them being great, and then they're not. And UNC has the ability to really beat anybody on a given week. They also have the ability to lose to absolutely anybody. But Cal going to UNC, I believe, playing, at UNC.
Yeah, at UNC.
What do you have, Andy?
I've got it tight, but I've got UNC home field. You know, more seasoned team. I think it's tighter than a lot of people probably imagine.
Right.
But the Tar Heels, you know, they're a real program. And I think we look at the ACC and we talk about Clemson and Florida State and Louisville. UNC's right there in that next tier.
I agree.
And they're going to get some wins this year.
Yeah, I agree with you,
Andy. I think UNC, it's going to be a really good football game. I think, you know, California is always capable of putting up some points, so it's going to be interesting. UNC's going to be stronger on defense than some of the teams Cal right. plays out on the West Coast. But I think UNC in a close game. Yeah.
NC State playing South Carolina in Charlotte. I think South Carolina started out on Thursday night for the last decade, as far as I remember. This is probably one of the rare times that they're on a Saturday. This could be an interesting game. Who knows where South Carolina is right now? They've just been just in awful shape the last few years. I mean, I don't know other way to say it. I'm not trying to beat up on them, but I think this is a pretty easy win for NC State personally in Charlotte. What about you all?
I think so too. I think NC State wins this one. I think it's, you know, South Carolina is on kind of a downhill slide. I've seen nothing in terms of their recruiting since Spurrier left yeah. that tells me they're back and they're going to be a force. So I think NC State wins this by a couple of touchdowns.
See, I've got it closer.
Okay.
I've got NC State. You guys say it'd be an interesting game. That's where we differ.
Yeah. Right. Depends on your definition of interesting. You're right.
I think it'll be a close game. I don't know if it's going to be one that you really say, you know, tune into this channel. You got to check out these two teams.
Yeah, but, it's 2 o'clock.
NC State also is not really showing me a whole lot that makes me think they're ready to move to that upper tier.
Well, and they're on at the same time as Michigan, Florida, and Temple and Notre Dame. And so you got a lot of other options in this 2 o'clock mid-afternoon
yes.
window.
Oh, yeah.
I can't
oh,
imagine
yeah.
that NC State, South Carolina's one. Let's go to that Michigan-Florida game. It's a big game.
It's
I think Florida's
game.
Got the issues with players not being able to play. So that certainly will hurt them. Harbaugh just released his imaginary depth chart. Mark is a big Harbaugh fan.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I love Harbaugh.
He enjoys the Khaki King.
I am the Khaki King of Ann Arbor, no doubt about it.
You like him enough to take on Florida and beat Florida in Arlington?
I like it close. I do. I think McElwain, even losing players can put a good team out there. I mean, defensively.
Right.
I'm not sure about this new quarterback he's got, and he just made the decision on that this week, and I think. But I think he's got some things against him with the suspensions, a lot of distractions mm-hmm. For him in this game. And I think Harbaugh Harbaugh is the type who's been pointing to this thing for a year, and I think they'll come out and win a close one there in Arlington.
Harbaugh's last big game didn't go so well for him.
Oh, that's true. Didn't
you remember
go very
that?
Well. I do
didn't
remember.
Go so well for him.
I know. Now, I kind of hope I'm wrong on this. I'd love to see Florida win this football game, but I think Michigan close.
I'd love to see Florida win too, but yeah, the suspensions and yeah, what we always say: if you have two starting quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Right.
He's got three.
Right. Right.
Down
well,
in Florida.
Right.
I don't know what they're doing there, but man, I'd love to see Michigan lose just because I'm tired of the Harbaugh hype already.
Right.
I mean, look at all the titles Harbaugh's won. Oh, wait.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
At any level,
right.
as a player, as a coach,
the
nothing.
The trophy case, where is that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I think he's a very good coach, but the hype surrounding him doesn't seem to match it to me.
Yeah. He may throw his take his shirt off, though. That'd be interesting. He's going to
And if
gonna
he does,
mad.
Like 18 other programs will do that, too, because
right,
Harbaugh
yeah.
did it, and they think that must be the way
right.
to be.
Right, absolutely.
I said before I want both of these teams to lose. I think Florida doesn't have enough with what, 6-7 players now not playing in the distraction?
Up to 10.
That's incredible.
So, and I don't know why Florida has not been successful at recruiting a quarterback in the better part of 10, 15 years either. And so – you're right. 1 + 1 + 1 = 0, or maybe negative -5.
Yeah.
So I don't. The 3 quarterback system is going to be awful.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with you all.
Yep. Well, quickly, we'll go to break here in a second. But Temple at Notre Dame. Interesting. Temple's always, gives Notre Dame and Temple usually played a pretty interesting game. I mean, I'm not thrilled about the game, but I. What do you? Who you got?
I've got Notre Dame pretty easy. Okay. Still, I. You know, a few years ago when the Irish were in the national championship game, we said, gosh, this is kind of an overestimation of where they're at. Well, 4-8 last year is also an underestimation of where mm-hmm. they're at. Notre Dame's going to self-correct, and I think, they're an 8-4, 9-3 team this year.
Okay. All right.
I agree with Andy, and I think I agree with Andy when he said earlier this will not be an interesting game as well. I think it'll be an ugly, boring, and I think it may be somewhat close in the first half. But, yeah, I think Notre Dame wins.
All right. I Notre Dame's going to win. If they don't win, there's some serious problems in South Bend.
Yes.
But I think it might be a little closer than you guys say just because Temple does play, you know, traditionally Notre Dame decently well, I think. But I think Notre Dame should win this one big. I think it might be a little bit closer than that. But who knows? You know, that's a lot of – every year there's a lot of hype. Not as much hype lately for Notre Dame, but certainly I've been reading a little bit about
the new kindler, gentler Brian Kelly, right?
He's yeah.
going to be nice all of a
yeah.
sudden. I don't think it's going to work for him.
No, I think it would be interesting to see if he gets on the hot seat this year, but they should feel a pretty decent team.
Any surprises that either one of you see in Kentucky at USM or Western Michigan at USC? No, right? No surprises there?
Take the big schools,
Kentucky and
Southern Cal and Sam Darnold starts his Heisman campaign.
That's why that game's going to be interesting. Yeah. They're going to blow out Western. Well, they may not blow out Western. You know, Western Michigan's a pretty good football team, but I think they're going to. I think they'll blow them out, and I think Sam Darnold. You know, the Heisman hype's already started, obviously, with him. But he is a great quarterback. So we'll see.
All right. Well, we're about halfway there. Let's take a short break again, right? And we'll finish some of these fearless picks here on 90.7, the Capstone.
Skybox.
Skybox.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7, the Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone. We've got more Fearless Picks here with Dr. Andy Billings. We've got App State going to Georgia. Maybe not an interesting game, but App State has done it before. And here in Kirby Smart's second season, do you think App State has any chance, Andy, to give Georgia some fits?
I think they have a chance.
Right.
I think we've overblown their giant killer label. Hasn't it been 10 years since they beat Michigan?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
You know, so I don't know how long we can play that song. I've got Georgia. I don't have them huge, but I'd say a couple touchdowns.
I agree. Maybe the first quarter is like maybe App State goes on the board first and it puts a little bit of fear into Georgia for like a second, but I think they've got enough to do App State.
Oh, no, it might be like a touchdown at halftime even, but
– yeah. I agree. And I actually think Georgia is going to have a pretty good team this year. I think Smart's this is third year?
Second
year. But I think they're going to be pretty good. They're not going undefeated or anything like that. But I do think they got a shot at the SEC East, and I think they'll start out pretty well. And it's a pretty good game to start out with. App State's no pushover, so.
Completely agree.
But in the end, I think Georgia wins it by, you know, at least two touchdowns probably.
Our friends kind of around the state and Georgia Southern going to Auburn. Another game that's a pretty decent opponent, a tough team to prepare for. Maybe a little easier to prepare for out of the gates than it would be in the middle of the season. But I think Georgia Southern gives them some trouble in the first half, but Auburn probably pulls away and wins. Any major differences here with you gentlemen?
No, I think Auburn. It'll be interesting because Auburn sometimes can just lay an egg on their own field with some of these teams they should be beating up. And there's always that sort of thing of like, is the Gus Bus rolling? Is it all tuned up and ready to roll? And of course, their new quarterback, a lot of hype. It'll be interesting. But yeah, Auburn should not have that much trouble in this game. They may early, with a triple option type offense. And Georgia Southern can give people fits, but ultimately I think Auburn wins it pretty easily at the end.
Yeah, no, I think it's Auburn. Georgia Southern is no slouch, like we said, but, you know, if people are going to get off the Gus Bus, it's going to be about midseason, from what I can see there. This really is a make-or-break year for him, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds, but
that's the
SEC.
That's exactly right.
They've got to have an offense at some point. You can't just keep on playing without a consistent offense.
When they
level.
Have a quarterback that knows that offense, though, they're tough.
Right, right.
And we're about to find out if they do.
Yeah. But, you know, what did they lose, five games last year or at Auburn? I mean, they didn't have a great year at all. And I think they, there is a lot of pressure on Malzahn right now.
Yeah.
So we'll skip the big game here with Florida State and Alabama for now and get to that a bit later. But another big marquee game Saturday evening, BYU versus LSU, been moved to the Superdome. from Houston. BYU making a long trek out of their Western comfort zone. Right. LSU coming off a decent year, but certainly not up to their expectations. But new coach, apparently they have discovered an offense because they actually played offense last year, which is somewhat scary, much like Auburn, if they actually play offense and it looks like they're playing a coordinated offense of some sort.
Right.
They can be scary too. Do you all think BYU has a chance in this quote-unquote neutral game?
I don't. I think LSU is going to just dominate this game. Yeah, BYU really did not look good on offense last week, and they needed that. Their defense looked pretty decent, but they needed to show some offense. Unless it's a completely different team that shows up against LSU, I think LSU blows that out from the beginning.
I hate to keep agreeing with you guys, but you know, LSU loses their games in November. They don't lose those in September. They save them up,
right,
and get up to that top five, and then they lose.
And their running back wins the Heisman in September.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. It's like the
national champs and Heisman winners
until they arrive in Tuscaloosa. It'll be the same with guys. He's gonna get yards like crazy in these games, and he's gonna, you know, it's gonna probably end with Bama, but we'll see. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep. Speaking of another team that likes to go 5-6-0 and then tank, Texas A&M is going out to UCLA in another intriguing matchup. This is a Sunday evening game. Again, does Texas A&M have enough to go 5-6-0 and keep it up this year? This is a real opponent for them early on, big out-of-conference game. I was telling Mark I was surprised a lot of the Crimson White sports staff picked UCLA more than they picked A&M.
They did.
So do the Bruins have a chance against Kevin Sumlin and his strong September-October team?
This is a tough pick.
I think so, too.
This is a really tough pick. Yeah. Rosen's been overhyped now for, 2 years? In my mind, overhyped.
This is the first year we won't talk about him winning the Heisman in the first 4 weeks of the season, I'm guessing.
Right, it is.
Unless you're about to go there now.
No, I'm not going there.
Every year we talk about him at this point being a Heisman frontrunner.
I think we're beginning to see he might be what he is. Right. I don't know. But it is at home, you know, and it's a tough road game for A&M. We don't really know. You know, A&M does start off every year pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, they play their best – games early until again they play Bama, but right. You know, UCLA is a big question mark to me, but I'm gonna pick UCLA. I'm gonna go with them just because I'm not certain that A&M's got it this year, and they're on the road. If this were in College Station, I'd pick A&M, but I'm going close game, kind of a shootout, but a close one with UCLA winning.
Yeah, I think it's high scoring, but I think A&M's missing a couple playmakers on defense that they usually have, and you can say all you want about Josh Rosen, but at least UCLA knows who their quarterback
is.
And knows he can run the offense. I don't know if A&M knows who their quarterback is or feels confident with where they're headed.
That's true.
So I don't know, unless they're planning on doing the reverse where they lose some games early and then win late. I've got UCLA, and I've got them 10, 14 points.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
So I've tried to trump up some kind of drama about this pick, but I'm going to go with UCLA as well for all of the same reasons. And normally, A&M's got a quarterback who's great and is fantastic, again, for 5 or 6 mm-hmm. games, and then he's no longer with the program by the time they get to Tuscaloosa. But I think you're right. If you know you've got Rosen, you know what you have at UCLA, and I think A&M may be all over the map this year. I think they're still figuring stuff out.
This is really our first bowl game of the year because it's the hot seat bowl,
right?
Yep.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It is.
Whoever loses that, the seat's hot early.
Yeah. And I don't, either one of those coaches, it'd be surprising if they lasted until a year ago this time, I think.
I know.
It's going to be
tough. This may be it for them.
Again, high expectations, and they just haven't been – you can't lose 4, 5, 6 games.
Another interesting game at the same time on the other side of the coast here, West Virginia, Virginia Tech versus Virginia Tech, and they're playing this in Maryland. Great game.
Yeah.
You know?
Is this at the FedEx Field, I guess, the big Washington Stadium, the pro stadium? I
think so, yeah. What do you got?
I'm going West Virginia. I think West Virginia is going to beat them. I watch a lot of Virginia Tech football, sadly, as a ACC card-carrying member. And they're a strange team every year, and I don't think they come out of the gates very well. I think they're a mid midseason team, and I think West Virginia is going to get them. I think West Virginia is going to put up some points, and I think the hair is going to be flying all over the place for Coach Dana, and I think it's going to be windy in Maryland, and the comb-over is going to be blown around, and I think they're going to have some tricks up their sleeves, and Virginia Tech's going to be a little too conservative to try to stay in the game.
Right. See, and I'm slightly in the other way. I'll take Virginia Tech.
All right, here
I still,
we go.
I go back and forth on it, and to me, this comes down to, you know, there's certain programs that you're like, okay, are they – a traditional power, or right. are they one coach?
Right.
You know,
right.
we're right. gradually going to find out here if Tech is just Frank Beamer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or if they're going to kind of be like Kansas State, where if they don't have Bill Snyder, they're not a good football program.
Yeah, right.
That's a great analogy.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, Beamer ball is over, and it was over really in the last decade of Beamer, too. But, yeah. Right, can they pull out of it and play something different? I think yeah, these two Sunday night games may be the most interesting to watch as far as they're going to yes. be shootouts, and they're going to be fun and
it's great for
somewhat
college
compelling
football.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to have that continued on Sunday with those two really big
yep.
games.
Definitely.
I'm going to go with West Virginia. You know, I'm just you know, the Coach Dane and the hair and the I think it'll be flying. He'll be flying around. It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a very close football game. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and it's there's a lot going on there in terms of rivalries, all sorts of things. But I think it's a really good game, and both teams might do pretty well this year overall. You know, we'll see. But I'll go with West Virginia.
So we got one more to cover before we get to FSU Alabama, and that is Tennessee versus Georgia Tech on Monday night in Atlanta, the big Labor Day game, an SEC-ACC matchup, which we've had for the last number of years. I think this is an interesting game, but I'm oddly obsessed with Georgia Tech football. I know a lot of people at the Crimson White pick Tennessee.
Right.
I think Georgia Tech has a chance to win this game. This is the kind of game that they can show up for and win, and I think it'll be jumping in Atlanta Monday night, and I don't believe that Tennessee is going to be back again. I think they're still figuring out, so I'm going out on a limb, and I'm saying it's going to be the Ramblin' Wreck. Mm. They're going to do it.
All right.
All right. We have another disagreement.
All right,
at least,
here we go.
Right? You know, I like what I see in Tennessee. I feel like lots of times, especially last year, their problem wasn't lack of talent. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be something about getting that team to gel.
Yeah.
If there's going to be those same kind of cracks, maybe they emerge in October. Right, but yeah. I think they got enough. They're clearly the more talented of the two teams.
That's absolutely true.
It's whether they put it together.
They should,
but I'm
going to
say they
game.
Do. They should.
They should.
Yep. If not, we have another hot seat.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I'm going with the Vols too, and I don't want to. I want them to lose this game. I'm no Vols fan, but I don't like that shade of orange. But it's just me. No, actually, it's not just me. It's a lot of
really
Bama
everybody.
But I'm going Tennessee because, I think they're the most talented team. I think Tech's going to give them a game. This could go down to the wire at the end. But I'm gonna pick Tennessee to pull this one out just from the talent.
And who knows what Tech is doing this year, too. So I agree. I want Tech to win, so I'm going to pick them.
Yep. All right. Okay, look, we're going to come right back. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back to talk about the big one, Bama and FSU. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 at Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone. So tonight, a really big game in Atlanta at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and with the retractable roof that won't retract, I think, yet.
Right.
But so it'll be closed, but... anyway, let's talk about it. This is Adam. I know it's a tough pick for you.
It's brutal.
Yeah,
it's the moment we've been fearing.
You're going to be in some
household.
Serious, some serious stress this evening.
That's true. It's true.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a huge game. Of course, we've been looking at it for a couple of years ever since they announced it. I think it's interesting because the two programs are certainly not at the same point right now. Florida State is still trying to be on the upswing, and we're certainly at the top of an upswing and been hanging out there. I think the teams this year are in a little bit similar positions, though, of having young quarterbacks coming back for their second year, having a little bit of a spotty last season, certainly for Francois more so than Jalen. But I think both expectations for both quarterbacks are similar. Both defenses should be back and playing pretty strong. Having new running backs coming in for both teams, they really are in pretty similar positions for this particular moment in time. And then some of that comes down to coaching, and the coaches are certainly from in very different stages, but similar. Similar coaches, certainly from the Saban tree with Jimbo.
I mean, national championship coaches don't grow on trees.
Right.
You know, I thought it was really interesting. There's only four that are active right now as head coaches that have national titles, and these are two of them.
Yeah.
Dabo and Urban Meyer are the other two.
That's a great point.
And, it's a clash of heavyweights. I believe it's the biggest opening week game ever, versus three.
Yeah.
And Alabama's going to look a little different. We just don't know what. We aren't quite sure what that offense looks like. We know they're incredibly talented with a lot of people back, but we have a new coordinator.
Right.
Defense we know is talented but young. I feel like if Bama's going to really live up to expectations this year, it might be the offense leading the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is strange for the last few years. Yeah,
we are not used to that.
Yeah. That's very interesting. And Jalen Hurts is going to obviously start. It's going to be interesting. In terms of his passing, he seemed to struggle down the stretch last year. He can still run like crazy. The by all indications from Coach Saban, he's improved as a passer. How much has he improved? Because he's really going to be tested right out of the gate, and they're going to do the same thing that Clemson tried to do and others tried to do at the end of the year last year, and that is make him throw the football and keep him in the pocket. And that's what –
And run obviously a ton of plays against the defense and make him throw the ball. Yeah, I think that's the plan. And it's very clear now what the plan is going to be of teams that are smart enough to try to use the Clemson plan against Alabama.
No, I feel Alabama's offensive line and running backs are talented enough that basically you can just line them up, run your running backs, and win 8 or 9 games. This is not one of those 8 or 9 games.
Right.
That's a great way
Jalen has to throw.
He has to throw.
Be a threat of throwing to the point that keeps Florida State off balance.
And I think the Florida State issue is largely the same for them because Francois is going to have to throw the ball, and they have young running backs and a little bit of a young line, and he was all over the map last year, and so if they don't protect him and if he can't throw the ball, there's not a lot of receivers on the Florida State team that have any kind of experience. And so throwing the ball is one side of the equation. The other side of it, somebody's got to be there. And for the last 5 years, Florida State has had great receivers, and this year it's just not there from what we can tell now. And so I think that may be a big difference, too, is how Florida State can score points if they can.
Yeah, because Bama's, Bama lost a lot on the line. They're gonna try to get to him and not give him any time. And Florida State's offensive line did struggle quite a bit last year, so that'll be interesting. I'm excited too for Bama. I mean, obviously, Bo Scarborough. Andy, you were talking about the backs. He's going to have a big impact in this game. I'm also excited that Robert Foster's back, from injury. Mm-hmm. And I think to have Ridley and Foster together is going to be, two great targets.
Absolutely.
And I think they're going to have to come into play in this game. We'll see.
The question will be having an offensive coordinator that brings a little bit different of a mindset to the game. And are we going to be talking about the offensive play calling every single week for the entire season again, about how strange it is that we're not using the tools that we have? Because you're right, that's going to be a great pair, but not if we never throw them the ball, or if we only throw them the ball 7 yards behind the line with a bubble screen.
No, that's the question. We know Ridley's going to get the ball. It's whether it's going to be a bubble screen or if it's going to be 20, 25 yards down the field.
Yeah.
That we don't know, and we haven't seen anything to know.
And if it's behind the line, Florida State defense is fast enough to get there, which that's part of that 8 or 9 games versus the other games. And so I think that'll be interesting. If Jalen can get it down the field, then that's going to take advantage of some things that Florida State was pretty poor at last year, covering deep balls. They just couldn't do it.
This may be the game, though, where Bama fans don't say run the ball.
Absolutely.
They're going to be saying stop running the ball and throw it.
Right.
because Florida State, is going to – They're gonna load up the box and stop the run and make him throw it.
And to Jalen's credit, I mean, in that national championship game when we needed to score,
he did it.
He drove it and threw it.
It should have won the game.
It was just the defense that was gassed. So I think some of this narrative that Jalen can't throw, for a while there, they just didn't ask him to.
Right.
Right.
They knew they could win without it.
I think we got cold feet real quick with that. Yep.
It's a great point. And for by all, Bama should have won that football game, you know, with that great run at the end. So, well, okay, it's time to pick. We got just 2.5 minutes here. Who you got?
Andy, you go first.
Yeah. You got to go first.
You do have to go first.
Are you still waffling?
For people who can't see us in the studio, Mark blatantly pointed at me with two hands.
Right.
And I stared him in the face and said, no, I'm throwing Andy under the bus.
Right, right.
It truly is Bama. And the reason I say this is because every indication we get is that this team has a chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This seems to be a team that can motivate itself, is not carrying itself as the number one team. They're carrying themselves like they're the number two team that deserve to be number one.
Right.
And they want to go out and show it. And betting against Saban in an opening game, I just can't do it. Yeah. I think Bama pulls through. I think it's tight. Yeah. I think it's a clash of the titans, but the tide rolls.
You think it lives up to the hype, but
I do.
Tide rolls.
I think the tide rolls maybe 28-21, 28-17. I think it won't be an offensive explosion that much. It could be, but I think the defenses are pretty good, and I think the Bama rolls maybe 28-21.
So for months I've been preparing myself to pick Florida State because I really thought Florida State was going to win, and I have changed over the last couple of weeks in the fact that I certainly think Andy's right in that betting against Saban in the first game is a tough move. I think it's low scoring. I think it's 20-17 or something like that. I don't think somebody scores four touchdowns, and I think at the end of the game, I think Florida State doesn't have enough, and their weaknesses from last year are just too much, and I think we've been there before, and it's just not the year. So I think it's tight. I think it's 2017, and it's really probably 2014 going down pretty late. Right.
I still wouldn't be surprised if these two teams play in the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. They could. Whoever loses is still going to be there if they win their conference at the end. So, okay. Well, Dr. Billings, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's great having you here. Thanks. And Andrew Deere will be back next week with us as well. And everybody, anybody going to the game in Atlanta tonight, drive safely, be careful, and bring home a Bama win. How about that? Yeah. Adam, even with you picked
even
Bama
me.
So
I know.
There we go. But that's great. Thanks to Terry Siggers, the GM of 90.7, who's producing this show for us today. And we'll be back at this time, 10 a.m. every Saturday. So we will see you on the radio next week. And you've been listening to Skybox on 90.7 at Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.